Last year's election was historic by several measures: the amount of money spent, the surge in turnout, and the Democratic sweep of Illinois government. Every 4 years, the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at Southern Illinois University Carbondale analyzes the election, looking at everything from spending patterns to changes in voter behavior. And the report's author, John Jackson, spoke with our Statehouse reporter, Brian Mackey.
Professor John Jackson, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
I'm glad to do it.
You talk in your paper about the backgrounds of the political candidates and how it was, you know, we have had these businessmen, non-politician candidates in Illinois, but Bruce Rauner was really the first one to be successful. He was part of a national trend. And then it's even more unusual in the 2018 election. Bruce Rauner is running for re-election, and then his opponent is also one of these outsider candidates. And I think that we are now so used to voters wanting somebody to drain the swamp or shake things up that it seems like we can forget that this was not always the preferred mode for politicians.
That's exactly right. The history of this country was marked by people who basically were mostly career politicians. Certainly the founders were career politicians. They weren't business people first and foremost. They were people like Jefferson and Madison and Marshall and all of those people who devoted their full adult lives to government and to public policy making, or the making of the Constitution, and being in politics. And it's fairly recently that we've had this trend where mega millionaires or even billionaires have decided that they'll take up a second career and that politics is attractive to them, I think probably for the fame and the notoriety. And we are a society that worships celebrity, and so the celebrity looks for something else to do and politics beckons. Trump at the national level epitomizes this trend.
And you talk about how the sort of cases of Rauner and Pritzker were very similar. Both were positioning themselves as outsider to the establishment, running against an incumbent who had popularity problems. And you talk about how Rauner tried to work against this billionaire image by dropping his G's in speeches, wearing Carhartt jackets. And as somebody who noticed those things, I also, when I would talk about them, people would criticize reporters for saying, oh, you're just focusing on these superficial things. But in your analysis, you look at that as perhaps emblematic of a deeper mistrust people might have had about his authenticity on policy matters. Was the way he dressed a get-up to appeal to voters? And did that relate to the way he approached policy?
I think that whole persona was emblematic of a real problem, a credibility gap to some extent that developed for him. And you're quite right. This goes back to Rauner versus Quinn in the first place. Quinn, of course, being a career politician, very little other experience outside of that realm, and had been governor one term elected and a year before that by elevation. And it was easy for Rauner to run against the establishment, the career politician who got us in this mess, and in so doing in the campaign. But then it continued over into being governor. All of that affectation, it was particularly evident when he would come to Southern Illinois or go to rural Illinois, and all of the dress and the accent and sort of the affectation of all of that, just at least for many people, didn't entirely ring true. And of course, he had major problems in terms of record with the 2-year disaster that the budget impasse became. And like Pat Quinn before him, he built a record that had to be defended. And this election was very much about the judgment of the voters on the past 4 years, and especially the 2-year budget impact. So no amount of image manipulation could change that in the voters' minds.
Although the governor certainly did try with millions and millions of dollars in television advertising, and his opponent, J.B. Pritzker, tried to remind people of those problems from his term with his own millions and millions of dollars in television advertising. And you talk in your analysis that there was so much money spent. It's not even really clear that there was much benefit to that in the end. And I found that to be an interesting assertion, right? That, I mean, I guess if both candidates are evenly matched, it kind of washes each other out. And yet here voters are being inundated with this negativity all the time, which I think helps drive down trust in the competence of government and drives up the idea that politicians are always just fighting all the time. They're not actually doing anything in Springfield. Are you really saying that all this Sturm und Drang was for nothing?
Well, not quite, but it gets close to that in the sense that they really debased the currency of the debate by all of that negative advertising, which people universally say they get tired of, but candidates keep doing because candidates often get elected doing that. But they were able to spend roughly the same amounts of money to saturate the airwaves, and basically, after a while, people just sort of turn off to it and go back to other things, other clues. And there, I think, again, the experience of the last 4 years was more important than the advertising. And it's pretty tough to spin that. And I think that's why Governor Rauner basically had such a hard time. And, of course, no question but what Pritzker was able to take advantage of that.
You also talk about Illinois being a sort of exemplar of recent trends in American politics in terms of suburbs shifting from red to blue, rural areas that were once solidly Democratic in the post-war era having gone almost completely the other way. Given how blue Illinois is in presidential elections, I think some people might be surprised by the idea that this state is still an exemplar of these national trends. Is it still the case that as goes Illinois, so goes the nation?
Well, Illinois is a bellwether in the sense that we are demographically, economically, geographically, distribution of rural, urban, distribution of the economy, all of that, we are exemplars of the nation as a whole. The old saying in the Nixon era was, will it play in Peoria? And there was a reason for that. We do show clearly the polarization of the nation in that our rural areas are still very red, very Republican areas. Our central city, particularly Chicago and the other big central cities, are very blue, and thus the elections won and lost in Illinois. In the suburban areas, the Cook County and surrounding five-collar region, that used to be a stronghold for Republicans, and DuPage County was one of the best and biggest Republican counties in the nation, and now DuPage is a purple county, and so are all five of those collar counties, and in fact, Pritzker carried all but one of them.
You dig up that aphorism that has been attributed to Tip O'Neill, all politics is local, and you say all politics is national. And for part of your analysis, I kept wondering, you know, you're talking about Governor Rauner's troubles with his base and Governor Rauner's time in office, and I had not heard mention of the president. And then you do come around to that later in the analysis. And I wonder, politics have really become so nationalized. How do you gauge what share of the outcome, Pritzker's victory, is attributable to people wanting him versus wanting to throw out Governor Rauner versus just a lot of Democrats turning out to repudiate President Trump? And I wonder if there's any danger in Pritzker perhaps overestimating his mandate.
Well, it's a multiple regression kind of problem, and you have to put all of those that you just mentioned into the factors that counted. And you get a base, you get a starting point from the party base. The two parties have a base in this state, just like nationally. And that gives a base that really didn't change that much. The Republicans mostly voted for Rauner, and certainly Democrats voted for Pritzker, but there are an awful lot of people who are either independents or who lean to the other. And Pritzker, of course, did extremely well with those, and many of those were located in the suburban areas where elections are won or lost in Illinois, and so that worked to Pritzker's advantage. And so I think all politics are national in that sense. They're also local in the sense that where you live and how you socialize with the people around you and being rural versus urban is a part of individual voters' daily lives, and that has a profound impact on how they see politics. Again, we're a polarized nation, and that polarization is exemplified in the three major divisions of Illinois. So it's some of both, but the decision came down in those suburban Cook County and Collier County voters to the issues of how the governor had done over the last 4 years and how the voters were reacting to particularly President Trump and the national scene. And that cost Governor Rauner the election.
Okay. Is there anything about this that I haven't asked you that you wish I would have or that you think is important?
No, I think you've done it pretty thoroughly, actually.
All right.
Your intro to questions have a lot of American voting behavior and stuff that political science teaches all the time, so I had to try to take off from there, I hope successfully and coherently.
Well, I hope I properly reflected what the thinking is.
You did. It's always good to see somebody who read your paper and understood it. That's encouraging.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
It's good to talk with you, Brian.
That's John Jackson, an emeritus professor of political science at SIU Carbondale. He spoke with our State House reporter, Brian Mackey. Jackson's paper on the 2018 election was written for the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute. We have a link to it. It's at our website, statewideshow.com.